You are listening to Motif Mosaic.
Welcome back to Motif Mosaic with Blessing. Thank you for tuning in whenever you are, wherever you are. Come and let's be together for this ride. Let's come together and listen into some songs and some stories about what I've been learning from these songs and perhaps what you can learn too. So as we continue on today, the first thing that we'll be looking at is just the shortest verse in the English Bible, in the KJV, is John 11:35. And I'm sure if you know that one, it says Jesus wept. And, you know, growing up, that was the easiest verse to memorize apart from Genesis 1:1. And if you know the story of what's going on around this time where Jesus is weeping, is that one of his best friends, Lazarus, has died. And what happens is that news comes to him 4 days earlier when Lazarus was still alive, and still, you know, Jesus took time to arrive at the scene, and Lazarus has died, and it was now 4 days, and they're even saying the body was smelling. And when he got to the scene and he saw what was going on, it says that Jesus wept. So it means that he saw the emotional pain of everyone around him, and he joined in with the people who are weeping and sympathized with them. Although we know how the story goes, if you know, he continues on to bring back Lazarus from the dead. But why did he even weep in the first place, you know, if he already knows that his friend was going to come back to life? But the truth of the matter is that Jesus is not some sort of mechanical wish-granting robot or miracle worker in that sort of sense or way, but he sees the people in their need, and he comes to sympathize with their emotions and to cry with them in this time where they are mourning the loss of a loved one. So that very same sense is what carries on in all aspects of our lives, that God sees and he sympathizes with our pain. You know, he sees our tears, he sees what we go through, and he's there with us because Jesus cries too. You know, to think the most perfect man to ever walk upon this earth cried with his friends, cried with those who were crying, because he loved and he felt compassion for them. So the very same thing can happen to us. You know, we think, oh Lord, if you had come 4 days earlier, this wouldn't have happened. Oh Lord, if you had answered me within this time, this wouldn't have happened. But even in those times where we're feeling low, where we're feeling just disheartened by all that's going on around us, we know that God sympathizes with us. We know that Jesus wept whilst he was on this earth too. So he understands our pain. He knows what we go through. And that's the title of this next song. It's not Jesus Wept, but rather it's Jesus Cries by Riley Simmons, where she talks about how Jesus joins in those times where we're shedding our tears, where we're just emotionally on a low. Jesus knows and he has felt what it means, and he sympathizes and he understands our pains, he understands our sorrows. So as you listen in, be reminded that even in your weeping seasons, Jesus is there weeping with you. Jesus is there understanding you and knowing your pain.
It's no secret that life gets a little heavy sometimes, like it's too much for one heart to take. Your smile's wearing thin, trying to hold it all in, but it feels like the dam's gonna break. You are not alone facing that flood behind your eyes. Heaven already knows every tear that you cry. So let fall like the rain, let 'em roll down your face, let 'em Jesus Christ too.
This next song, it's one about a point of view or a perspective, and it's a very sweet one. You know, it reminds me of how much we are loved. In the Bible, Jesus describes God as being our Father, and when you look at it, God loves us as a father does, and He's a perfect Father. He's a good Father, a Father that is not comparable to any of our fathers on earth. Sure, the goodness that we receive from our fathers on earth is a good thing, but it's only a glimmer of how good and how loving our own God is. And so in this song, it's called Dad Song by Abby Gamboa. It's from the perspective of God looking down upon us and admiring us and loving us as children. You know, if you're a parent, I'm sure you're very familiar with these feelings and affections that come with just seeing your baby and just loving them before they even do anything, or even whilst they're just asleep. You know, there's just this love and care that is there for a parent, for their child. And the same thing is there for God towards us. You know, there's nothing that we can do to make us more loved than we already are. And there's nothing that we can do to make us less loved than we already are. God simply loves us because we are His children. And it's such a beautiful love and such a deep and strong love that He has for each and every one of us, that He knows us individually. You know, just as a parent loves each child individually. Of course, God loves all of us, but I don't think it's a cookie-cut type of love. He loves each and every one of us personally. You know, He loves each and every one of us, and He knows our flaws, He knows our weaknesses, He knows our personalities. You know, the Bible says that our hairs are numbered, so it's very much possible that God knows your favorite food. God knows how many hours of sleep you need so that you're fully rested. So God loves you as a father does, and as you listen into the song, know that God cares for you more than even these words can express in this song. So this is Dad Song by Abby Gamboa.
Do it again.
Do it again. Before the world began, you were on my mind. I wanted you here, it was by design. See, you have my voice and you have my eyes. Every detail fashioned with delight. You were made to be loved by me. You were made to be loved by me. I'll hold you close to my heart. Thank you. If you've heard a songbird sing melodies, or ever heard raindrops make symphonies, you know what your voice sounds like to me. You were made to be loved by me. You were made to be loved by me. I'll hold you close to my heart until you see that even if you never did another thing, you were made to be, made to be.
When we look at different societies and different peoples and just different groups, there's something that we always use to identify others. Whether it's fans of a football team, we can tell them apart by knowing the jersey that they're wearing or knowing when they're celebrating when a team scores. And the same thing just applies across all culture and all contexts. You know, there's always something that we can use to identify a people. If you want to identify a culture, you want to identify a nationality, there's always something to look out for. And in the Bible, we're told there's something that we ought to look out for those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus describes to his disciples in the book of John. You know, it says that we must love one another as disciples so that the world may know that we are followers of Christ. So imagine that the key identifier for Christians is that they love one another. So as you love a fellow brother or sister in Christ, others are able to see and know that this is a follower of Christ Jesus. To know that it's not just about wearing a certain shirt or shoes or anything like that. Or it's not about you just showing up to church on Sundays. But it's you loving those around you that were able to see that you are a follower of Christ. That you are one of those who love Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. So it's something that's so ethereal. You know, it's not something that can be restricted to just how a person looks or how a person acts. But it's the act of love itself that reveals to the world that we are his followers. And so as we listen to this next song, it's called They'll Know We Are Christians. And, you know, it's a declaration that we ought to take that command. We ought to take that privilege that we get to know that we are revealing our nature to the world as we love one another, as we serve one another, as we lay down our lives for each other. That's what Christ calls us to do so that we may be known as his. So this is a challenge for you. You know, just seek and see, am I truly loving my brothers and sisters? Because, you know, it's Mother Teresa who puts it in this way, that the opposite of love is indifference. So are we being indifferent towards one another? You know, are we lacking that care for one another? Because we ought to be reminded of what it is to love, you know, to care for one another, to actively, proactively seek to show each other kindness. That way the world will know that we are Christians when they see our love.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity will one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
continuing on the topic of love, the next song is called God is Love, and this is one of the natures of who God is. You know, the Bible clearly describes it, and this is Apostle John who writes books and letters, and he says, God is love. You know, to love is to know God, and you, if you cannot love, then you do not know God, because God is love. And, you know, it's one of those things that we can rely upon to know that God, in his very core, in his very essence and nature, is love. So we can rely upon him. We can rely upon the love that we can receive from him. You know, it's something that's so faithful and something that never changes, that God loves each and every one of us. And he loves us so much that he sent his son to die for our sins upon the cross, that whosoever shall put their faith and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ will inherit eternal life. And we know that we can love because God loved us first. It's a sort of reaction type of thing, that as we see God's love, as we encounter God's love, then we're able to love those around us. And the thing about this is that the love of God is something that we can experience and get to know more of. You know, if you say that God is love, there ought to be something to back up your statement to say that, oh, I understand the love of God because of this that he has done for me. And when you look and listen into this song that we're about to get into, God is Love by Chris Renzema, he talks about God being so full of love, God being closer than a brother. And then I love how he just describes and he puts it across to say that in a time where he deserved judgment, where he deserved punishment, God instead showed him mercy and God showed him love. So for each and every one of us, I pray that it's not just a thing for us to say that God is love because we saw it written somewhere, but may it be for you to say that God is love because I have experienced, I have tasted the love of God. I have seen what it means to be saved. I have seen what it means to be healed. I have seen what it means to be loved by God because of A, B, C, or D. And so it's something that I pray for each and every one of us to experience and to know more of. That way we may love others. That way we may have that joy. We may have that peace that comes with the love of God. So here's God is Love by Chris Renzema.
How great this love, oh, it's moving on my mountains. This perfect love is casting out my fear. How great this love, oh, it welcomes me like family. And anywhere I go, so kind, what I deserve, it's not what I find. What more could I say about him? My God is love. How great this love, oh, it's faithful through my failure. Trust in love is with me till the end. How great this love, oh, it's closer than a brother. Well, this is love. He died so I could live. And he is good. So kind, what I deserve, it's not what I find. What more could I say about it? My God is love. I know my God is love. I know my God is love. It's not what I got. And he is just yet oh so kind. What I deserve, it's not what I find. What more could I say about him? My God is love. What more could I say about him? My God is love. What more could I say about him? My God is love.
This next song, I don't think I can ever have enough of listening to it because of how beautiful of an image it paints. You know, it lifts up the name of Jesus Christ because his name is above every other name, and his name is the one at which all knees shall bow and proclaim that he is above all things. This is originally written by Chris Tomlin, Holy Forever. It takes imagery used in the book of Isaiah, where it describes that hosts in heaven sing unto God and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And I think for each and every one of us, you know, when we get that revelation of who God is, we get to see his holiness, that God is set apart from anything upon this earth. You know, God is so different and so much higher than anything that we can ever know in our flesh or in the nature of the things that we see in this world, because we live in a corrupted world. We live in a world that isn't exactly as God has intended to be. And when we see that things here are not perfect and only God is perfect, we're able to praise him and say that you alone, Lord God, are perfect. And in this same song, you know, it lifts up the name of Jesus to say that he is above all powers, all dominions, all thrones, and all things. And that is the king that we serve. To know that Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the one that is to come and was. To know that he is greater than any power, any principality, or any government. That gives this assurance that we have to know that the one that we put our trust in, the one that we put our faith in, is so much greater than the government powers of the world or the kingdoms that have come and the kingdoms that are to come. Because we can see, you know, ever since the gospel has started, how many kingdoms have risen and how many have fallen, but still yet we see the kingdom of God, we see the people of God standing fast in the faith. So this is our God that we get to praise, to say that holy is his name and worthy is his name, because his name has brought salvation to so many of us. His name has healed so many of us, and we get to praise him for all that he is. You know, we get to sing that our God is holy, and we will get to do this for eternity, because I think there are no amount of words that we can ever get to describe God's goodness, God's grandeur, and all that belongs unto him, because God is, you know, just this great and all-powerful being beyond our own understanding, beyond our own praise or whatever it is that we can bring unto him. So as you listen to this song, you know, it's an invite from me to you to come to praise the Lord, to praise him for his goodness, to lift up his name, because his name is worthy, his name is beautiful, his name is mighty, his name is wonderful. So here's Holy Forever in this rendition done by Anthem Worship.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy. Forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. Now if you walk in freedom And if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. Ooh, oh, we'll sing the song forever and amen. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name.
There's a trustworthy saying, and it goes, the best attitude to have is gratitude. And it's been something that I've been trying to practice as of lately, to wake up every day and to list 10 things that I'm grateful for before I go on with the rest of my day. And what I find is, you know, at times it gets difficult by the time I get to like point number 6. But then, you know, it makes me realize that at times I think I take things for granted. You know, it's so easy to overlook things that we can give thanks to God for. And I'm reminded of one of my teachers in high school who was saying, we ought to also be grateful for the problems that we have in our lives because they help us to grow and they help us to be more like Christ. And at first, you know, my young mind couldn't really understand what he was saying, that, oh, I should be grateful when things aren't going my way. I should be grateful when there's pains or inconveniences in my life, because somehow they'll make me a better person. But when I look, and as I've grown in more understanding of scripture and just more life experiences, it's true, you know, it's something to be grateful for. And the next song that we're going to listen to, or the last song we're going to listen to, is Beautiful Day by Jermaine Edwards. And maybe you've heard it before, but it has a very catchy refrain where he says, Lord, I thank you for sunshine, I thank you for rain, I thank you for joy, and I thank you for pain. You know, there's just so many reasons to be grateful for God's working in our lives. You know, we can be grateful that God is doing good things, and God is doing things that seem to be bad or things that we just can't seem to like or understand. But we know that God is good. You know, God is working all things for good. Even the bad things, God uses them for good. You know, the clearest example that we can look at is the life of Joseph, being sold into slavery, being put in prison. And then after all that, we see that God was working it all for good so that he can receive the glory, so that his family can be saved from famine later on. And we see that even those inconveniences in our lives, God can use them for good. So it's a good practice to even say, Lord, thank you for the problems that I'm going through, because I know there's character development. Thank you that there are things that are teaching me to endure, because after the endurance passes, my character grows and I get to be more like you. You know, I get to have a stronger faith because I'm able to endure, to get through things. And you know, just lastly, as I close off, there's just an Arabic saying that says that when there's only sunshine, all you ever have is a desert. For you to have plantation and vegetation to grow, there's times when there needs to be storms and rain so that something can grow out of that. So all sunshine creates a desert. Sometimes you need rain for you to get through things. So here's Beautiful Day by Jermaine Edwards, as he says, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, and thank you for joy, and thank you for pain. I hope you have a beautiful day.
Sunday morning, I woke up and I look in the mirror, and every part part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act who I am mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise, and that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day, yeah. Please don't pass and by. Let us unite. We got one life. We got one life, so let's make it right. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day, yeah. Don't fuss and fight. Let us unite. We got one life, so let's make it right. It's a beautiful day.
Listening to Motif Mosaic.